Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
April 28th, 2009, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, 5 printing tips. Welcome back to The Digital Story. We're going to talk about printing today, and not just printing for printing's sake, but there's a tie-in here. And I have 5 reminders for some of you, and 5 new tips for others, depending on where you are in your world of printing. But first, let me give you the backstory on why we're going to talk about these tips, and then I'll give you the tips themselves. So this started while I was working on a couple of reviews for Macworld magazine, Olympus cameras, point-and-shoots. Point-and-shoots that are 12 megapixels. So little compact cameras packing 12 megapixels worth of resolution. My, how times have changed. So I have to go through and I have to rate all sorts of different aspects of these cameras, including picture quality, image quality. So here I was working with these images. You know, you go out and shoot and you try to get all sorts of different lighting conditions and use all the different features on the camera. And then I basically look at everything in aperture. I load everything into aperture. And in part because I can use the smart albums in aperture to sort out ISO, different camera models, things like that. So I can just click on one smart album and see all the ISO 400 shots, or click on another smart album and see all the pictures from one particular camera. It's very easy. You just use the metadata to program the smart albums and off to the races you go. Really, really easy. So I'm looking at these 12 megapixel photos from these compact cameras on my screen on both a cinema display and a laptop screen. I try to look at things as many different ways as possible. And then I also look at the images at 100%. And this leads to why I'm talking about printing today. And I've thought this many times in the past and just have never really gotten around to discussing it. And I don't know if this happens to you, but when you look at an image on your computer screen at 100%, a lot of times I'll say, wow, that doesn't look as good as I thought it should at 100% resolution. And you'll see imperfections, you'll see lack of clarity, you'll see where things that look like little, just nice little highlights, when you're looking at it at a reduced percentage, look just like white dots, you know, all this kind of stuff. It always sort of kind of depresses me a little bit. So I was thinking, you know, when I do these camera reviews, I have to be careful that I give the camera a fair rating for image quality. So I look at it at reduced size on the computer monitors, on different monitors. I look at the image at 100% on the computer monitors. But then I also make prints. And the thing that jumps out at me almost every time that I make prints, and in this case, I use the Epson R2400 as my printer for testing, just because I just know that printer so well. So then I print it out, and I usually print out at 8.5 by 11, and now, because of the resolution of these cameras, at 13 by 19, which I did for these compact cameras that have 12 megapixels. And the thing is, the minute I make a print, I feel relieved. I go, oh, it is a good image. It does look nice. It, you know, not only when I look at it closely, but when I hold it at arm's length, like you're supposed to for a 13 by 19, the image looks so much better to me, usually, than it did when I looked at it at 100% on the screen. My point here is, and the reason why we're talking about printing today, is that, as I have said before, and I will say many times again and again and again, is that if you really want to judge the quality of an image, if you really want to know what it is that you have, you know, in your camera, then you have to make a print of it. A print has to be part of the judging of an image. You can't just look at it on a computer monitor. You can't go at 100% on a computer monitor and think that that's going to give you the final judgment. And you certainly can't judge by looking on the back of your camera at the LCD, even if it's one of these beautiful 3-inch LCDs that we're seeing now. You have to make a print. And when you do make a print, a lot of times it's comforting instead of disheartening, especially if you have a good printing workflow, which is why I'm going to give you the tips. Because there's something about putting ink on paper and that whatever that chemistry is that happens there, a lot of times images just look better than when they do in the harsh, cold, backlit reality of a computer monitor. So you got to print. You got to print to really know. Okay, if I'm going to tell you to print, then I really feel like I should, you know, refresh some printing tips here so that we can, you know, we can make sure we get good prints, right? That you give your images a fair chance. Now, one thing about printing is there are two things. There's paper and there's ink. On ink for photography printing, I recommend that you go with the manufacturer's ink cartridges. I know they're more expensive than the remanufactured ones. And I do use remanufactured ink cartridges for document printing because I don't really see the difference there, and it's not that big a deal. But for photography, I use the original manufacturer's ink cartridges. Now, getting them sometimes can be a real pain in the nose. And in fact, I'm going through something right now. Another one of the printers that I really like is the HP B9180. It's a 13x19 printer. It's a great printer. It's just terrific, and it does really nice work on black and white and color both. But the cartridges will make you crazy sometimes trying to find these things. They're certainly not carried in most stores that carry ink cartridges. And of course, stores that carry ink cartridges are becoming fewer and fewer. I used to be able to get a lot of this stuff at stores like CompUSA, and there's no CompUSA anymore. So suddenly, where I used to go get all my Epson ink cartridges and some of my HP stuff, no longer there. And if I go down to Staples or whatever, they just look at me like they've never even heard of an HP B9180 because this is an office supply. They don't care about photography printing. So then I'm forced to order online a lot of times. And so I'm going through this thing right now with a website that I tried called inkcarts.com. Inkcarts.com. Have you ever tried them? I tried them for the first time. I usually will order ink a lot of times when I'm ordering from B&H. I'll just add ink to the order or whatever. But I wanted to try something new, and these guys had a little better prices for original manufactured ink cartridges. So I thought, okay, I'll give them a try and maybe have another source. So what they did was they charged my credit card, and I didn't, you know, a week goes by, no ink. 2 weeks go by, no ink. So I go on the site and I check. They have a decent site, and they allowed me to plug in my order number and see what's going on there. And all the cartridges that I ordered for the HP B9180 are back-ordered. They're back-ordered. So I got no notice that my cartridges were back-ordered, and they went ahead and charged my credit card. So you can imagine I'm not very thrilled with inkcarts.com right now. I have sent them a letter, and I'm hoping to hear back. If I get good news or bad news, I'll follow up and let you know how it all turns out. So if you have a really good source for ink, especially ink cartridges that are not as common, like for these HPs, please post a comment on the show notes or send me email, and I'll share it with other people. Because I'd like to have a few good sources for buying my ink. It's such a big deal. I mean, the ink alone will drive you crazy. Now, on the paper, I have to tell you, I use almost exclusively, except for a few certain types of stocks, Red River paper these days because I just love it. And Red River, as you know, is a sponsor of the Digital Story. And in fact, the paper that I've really fallen in love with and that I use for my camera reviews when I'm judging imagery and all that is the Arctic Polar Luster. This is just such a pretty paper. I love luster surfaces anyway because they show good detail, but at the same time, you don't have that annoying reflection that you get with gloss. They're kind of the really nice compromise. And the version that Red River makes is just terrific. I've talked about it before. I love this paper, and I use a bunch of it. So it is my favorite. However, I'm going to try some other stocks here, and I'm going to be reporting on those soon. I have a few others that I'm interested in. My problem is, it's like, you know, when you go to a restaurant, let's say once a month you go to a restaurant that you like, and they have this dish that you just think is the best thing you've ever tasted there. So it's really hard for me to order something else when I know this thing that I eat there is so good. So, you know, you're always going, well, I should, you know, expand outside of my little box here and order something else. And of course, as soon as you do, it's not nearly as good as your favorite that you just love. And then you're kicking yourself for, oh man, I should have just ordered my favorite. I know better. Why did I order this other thing? What an idiot I am. I'm not saying that that would happen with these paper stocks. However, I do, when I find something that I like, I really like to get to know it and use it. So anyway, there's paper and ink. Make sure you have ink cartridges on hand, extras, when you get ready for a printing session, because sure enough, you'll run out of light cyan or one of those things, light black, and then everything will come to a screeching halt. You won't be able to finish your printing session because chances are you can't go down to the store and just buy it. You'd have to order it and, you know, the whole thing. And I don't know how you are, but when I print, it's like it takes me like a couple days to work up to it. And then finally, I'm ready to print. And once I start, I don't want to stop. I want to keep printing until I'm done printing. And then I want to look at the stuff and then I want to do my next thing. So nothing worse than running out of ink in the middle of a print job. Well, there's a couple of things in life that are sort of like that, but in the world of photography, running out of ink is sort of the equivalent of running out of battery juice in your camera when you're at the Lincoln Memorial or something like that. Okay, let's get on to the five tips. First of all, tip number one, which I've already covered, which is beware of the deception of 100% magnification on a computer screen. Tip one is make sure you print. Make sure you print to really know what you have. If you're really excited about what you see on the computer, both at a reduced view and then also at 100%, or if you're a little bummed about what you're seeing, especially at 100%, make a print for the final judgment. Most of the time, you'll be pleasantly surprised. Most of the time. So, first of all, don't trust just your computer. You have to be trusting both the computer and your printer. Second thing, I still recommend, even though print drivers have gotten so much better, that you either let the application control the color or the system control the color when you're printing. The way that this works, if you're printing in Photoshop, for example, you would have Photoshop control the colors. And when I print in Aperture says let the system control the color. Either way, when you go this route, what it allows you to do then is choose an ICC profile for the paper and the printer that you're using. And I just feel like I get the best results when the application is controlling the color and I'm using an ICC profile. And if you're using the stocks that come that are made by the printer manufacturer, they have ICC profiles for you. If you're using third-party paper, as I do a lot of the time, one thing that Red River does that I just love is that when you first open up the box, you'll have an information sheet there. And it will tell you that use this ICC profile if you're printing on Epson printer, use this ICC. They give you the equivalent. So you can use the ICC profile that you already have most of the time, with the third-party paper because most of the time there's an equivalent. So tip number two is I still recommend, I'm still standing by, let the system or the application control color use ICC profiles that are matched to the paper that you're using. I'm getting very consistent results doing that most of the time, especially when I'm testing. I only have to make one print. I make one print, and that is all I need, okay? How many prints are you making for an image? Okay, next. I recommend output sharpening. Now, I've talked about sharpening before. There's really three types of sharpening if you're shooting RAW. There's the sharpening, there's input sharpening, which compensates for the loss of sharpness that happens during the capture process. Most of the time, that sharpening is handled by your application that's interpreting your RAW files. So you don't have to worry much about that. Some applications let you tweak that, but for the most part, input sharpening is taken care of for you. Then there's creative sharpening, which you do when you're doing your image editing, and that's where you say, I'm just going to sharpen the eyes, I'm not going to sharpen the forehead. You're working with layers, or you're using an edge sharpen mask that just looks for detail, sharpens it, but doesn't mess with sharpening continuous tone. So that's the creative sharpening. And then there's output sharpening that happens just when you're making a print. And output sharpening compensates for the loss of sharpness that happens when ink hits paper. So you don't have to be a rocket scientist to sort of figure out that if you're printing on an uncoated matte stock, that you're going to need probably a little bit more output sharpening because that ink, when it hits that uncoated stock, is going to spread more and things are going to be less sharp. As opposed to when you're printing on a high gloss, you need less output sharpening because ink stays more put. So I use output sharpening in Lightroom and in Aperture. Two of the reasons why I like printing out of these applications is because you have output sharpening there in the dialog box, in your print dialog box, which is wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And is only applying sharpening during the printing process. It is not changing your original image. This is very important. I think it should happen in the print dialog box. And then if you want to adjust that, you can adjust that, and you're not messing around with your print because your original image, because the next time you print that image, it might be on a different paper, and the sharpening could be wrong if you're adjusting the image. So you want to adjust output sharpening in the dialog box if you have software that lets you do it. It's a much cleaner way to handle this situation. Number four. Keep your DPI or your PPI setting at 240 or above. And if you can't reach 240, then it's probably time to get a camera that captures at a higher resolution. Now, not a hard and fast rule, but it is a rule that I try to follow most of the time. Sometimes if I'm close, let's say I've captured a picture with my Canon 5D, the original one, which is 12 megapixels, and I do a little cropping, and I want to do a 13 by 19, I'm going to fall a little under 240 DPI if I do cropping. So, but if it's above 200, chances are I'll print it, take a look at it, and most of the time it's pretty okay. But for the most part, your rule of thumb is that you want to be either at 240 or 300 for your DPI setting when you're printing. That gives you the most, what we call, photographic results. You know, images that look like a real photography print, not something that came out of a computer in an inkjet printer. All right, 240 or above. Now, some people ask, just as an aside, what do you do if you have an image that's falling below that, and you really want to be at 240, can you sample up the image to get there? And yes, you can. Actually, Photoshop does a great job of sampling up. And you have a bicubic smoother and or the regular bicubic for sampling up. And I think it works really well. The thing is, if you're going to sample up, let's say you're going to make the image resolution, you're going to take it from whatever, 4,000 wide, 4,000 pixels wide to, let's say you have to go to 8,000 for some reason, pixels wide. I would sample up in two stages. I would first sample up from 4,000 to 6,000 using either bicubic or bicubic smoother. And then I would sample up again from 6,000 to 8,000. That should give you the best results. And we've tested this over and over again, and Photoshop does a great job. I don't think you need specialized software for sampling up blow up or any of those other ones that are out there. If you have Photoshop, use Photoshop and it'll work great. And sampling up is just fine, especially, you know, for printing. So sampling up's good. Just don't do too much at once. If you have a big chunk, then do it in stages. And then calibrate your monitor. And it really should be calibrate your monitor for Pete's sake. If you're not calibrating your monitor, then you're really you're like driving in the dark with no headlights on when it comes to making good prints, because you can't trust at all what you're seeing on your computer screen. So you have to calibrate. I recommend that you calibrate using a colorimeter, something like the I1, the Spider 3, whatever works for you. If you're on a Mac, Mac does have calibration built into the display's preference. If you do that, it's subjective calibration. It's not objective calibration like you get with a colorimeter, but it does help. And you just go to displays, you go to color, you'll see a calibrate button there. Use expert mode and walk through the wizard, and it'll give you a better, more accurate screen than you have right now. But it won't be as good as you use a colorimeter. If you're going to do a lot of printing, if you're going to spend the money on the ink and the paper, calibrate your monitor. And along those lines, if you have to make adjustments to an image because it appears one way on your screen, and then let's say it's coming out of the printer a little bit darker, which is the common thing that we see because screens are backlit and prints are reflective, then try not to make adjustments to the image itself. Calibrate your monitor, make sure that your monitor is accurate. And then again, I like applications such as Lightroom and Aperture that allow me to adjust the gamma in the print dialog box just for printing. So then I can lighten up the midtones a little bit in the print dialog box, make that little adjustment that makes me feel a little bit better about the print, gets it closer to what I want, and I haven't messed with the original image. So the two parts to this fifth tip is make sure that your workflow is calibrated all the way through. That means your monitor's calibrated and that on the front end, and then you're using ICC profiles for your printer on the final end. And then if you have to do adjustments to the image to get it exactly the way you want it, such as a little output sharpening or a little gamma adjustment to lighten it up, then try to find an application that allows you to do that in the print dialog box and not to the actual picture itself, not to the image, not to the original file, because that's where you don't want to do things. You want that to be adjusted according to the monitor, and then make your printing adjustments for the different types of paper in the print dialog box. So that is our little refresher on printing. I hope I brought up a couple things that you had forgotten or maybe that you didn't even know. I will say one other thing, just in closing, I was surprised, pleasantly surprised, by how nice the 13 by 19 inch prints looked from this Olympus Stylus 7000 and Olympus F5010, both 12 megapixel compacts. I like the 7000 a lot more as a camera, but both took really good shots. And for a compact camera shooting at 12 megapixels, making 13 by 19 prints that look really good, They looked really good. I was just thinking, wow, you know, what a great time we live in right now to be able to carry around a little camera in your pocket and then go home and make, you know, these luscious 13 by 19 inch prints from it. Good times. Good times indeed. All right. A little camera club business to take care of. This is the last home stretch, the last week for our photo assignment, which is a vibrancy. And by the way, not a bad idea to print out your entry for vibrancy too, just so you can really see what you have. Even though we're going to display it on a gallery, I think you'll get to know your image even a little bit better, and you might get some clues as to some adjustments that you want to make before you turn it in. We are getting entries. They've been trickling in lately. So you have until the end of April to send in your submission for vibrancy for the photo assignment. And if you have any questions about that, just click on the submissions link on the digital story. I always mention grab shots because they're so important. And I've been running them regularly again, and I just love seeing them up there. Have a cool one up right now, a Tasmanian lobster ship shot, and a nice story to go with it. And if you do send in a grab shot, please send me a paragraph or two about, you know, what you were doing and what camera you used and what you wanted to do and all that sort of stuff. Because I think that's what makes our grab shots different than just, you know, photo of the day or photo of the week or photo of the month that you see on other sites, is that you actually get to hear the story behind the picture. And I know I very much enjoy that, and I'm guessing that most of our readers, including you, do too. So if you send in the shot, please send me a paragraph or two. It really makes our stuff different than everyone else's. And I want to thank our sponsors. I'm going to start with Red River Paper today because they're so top of mind. I've been using their stuff all week, and I got to tell you, it is gorgeous paper at a very, very affordable price. You can't miss with these guys, and they're big supporters of Digital Story. And SiteGrinder, a very easy way to make beautiful websites that you design in Photoshop, and then SiteGrinder builds all the code for you. It's a great plugin for Photoshop. And Photomagico by Boink Software, that also makes Boink's TV. Two terrific applications that allow you to make very professional looking presentations right there on your Mac. Things that you never thought you could do, you can do with the software. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Thanks to you for tuning in this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you make some prints with something that you have sitting on your computer now. And then meet me back here next week, and we'll talk about more good stuff. Until then, take care, and bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.